Hello, everybody. This is Bill Cameron from The Drive. Podcasts of The Drive are presented by Southeastern Industrial Contractors, now hiring for great-paying skilled trade positions. Call 334-209-6355 to learn more. Thanks for listening.
Live from Auburn, the sports capital of Alabama, this is The Drive. The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Hello, everybody. Welcome in. It is the Wednesday edition of The Drive. Again, it's a little tougher for me to keep up with what day of the week it is when we have a holiday, because I'm not going into the office every day.
I thought you were going to say post-retirement. It was tougher
for
you
to... Well, that's what I mean, because I'm not going into the office
every day. There's not as drastic of a difference between your Friday and your Saturday or your Sunday and your Monday.
There's a lot of difference between Friday and Saturday. There's not a lot of difference between Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday.
Okay, so but Sunday to Monday, there's still a pretty big difference.
Oh, yeah.
Like the weekend, even.
Yeah, because we do a show on
you Monday. Do a show on weekdays. Yeah, that's right.
If it weren't for that, then yeah, that's really the only thing that keeps it from all being a long weekend.
Well, we got Hugh Freeze on Mondays as well, right?
That is right. Freeze on Monday, and then Tuesdays, players, and maybe a viewing window, you know? And then Wednesday, Thursday, though, it's like, oh, okay, I got to remember which day it is before we get to the weekend. And it's really made things different because we had Labor Day on Monday. Brian Matthews was still with us on Monday. So that stayed the same. From that point on, it's been different as far as our regular guests that we have. We're going to have all of our guests on, as far as I know, this week. Just not at the normal time or on the normal day that we do. I think by the time we get to Friday, Thursday, the second hour Thursday and then Friday should be about the same. We should have Barrett Salee Friday. We should have David Paschal on Thursday in the 5 o'clock hour. But normally we have Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, with us on Tuesdays. But since because of Labor Day, their regular Monday meeting got pushed to Tuesday. So Andy will be in just a little bit. He is fighting the traffic from campus over here. And, I've about decided that if I'm anywhere near campus and I can get to Sanford to hit university, that's the way I'm coming here. Because coming through town is quite the challenge. Quite the challenge if you're coming from campus. If you're able and Andy is, if he's over there near the all the athletics complex, I would advise him, as we have talked when we're at press things with athletics, to hit Sanford to university to come around.
Well, here's what I would say is avoid, with the students back, you want to avoid
downtown
West Mag. You want to avoid Glenn. You probably want to avoid Dean, right at the railroad. So do what you can. Get on Opelika Road as early as possible. Maybe maybe some of those cross streets, Ross and the Gay Street, stuff like that. But you're right. The busy intersections
we forgot
are just
to turn the light on for Andy.
You're right. They're clogged at the moment. And with something that feels like a big game Saturday. I know people who weren't in town for this past weekend that are coming to town this weekend.
Oh yeah, me too.
It'll only get busier in the days to come.
Oh yes, but we're pleased that the voice of the Tigers has joined us here in the studio on this Wednesday.
Crazy,
yeah,
crazy.
It is.
Once you get on Dean to the railroad tracks, you're here.
Oh.
Beyond to get to that point, though, is crazy.
This is a rare.
Usually, you're here until somebody ahead of you between Dean and the railroad tracks decides to let those people in the left lane.
That's
in.
True.
Dan and I were just talking, Andy. I mean, from your office or from around athletics, the quickest way to get here is go Sanford and University.
That or get out on Shug Jordan Parkway and go the south side around.
Yeah,
on the loop.
Yeah, but get on the loop.
Actually, the quicker, and I will do that from now on.
The only thing you have to think about when you're coming on the south side of the loop is Auburn High.
No, I'm talking about taking Samford to Shug Jordan and going on the. I'm sorry, the
that,
north.
No, that's what I was talking
the
about.
The north side of town.
Yeah, that's what we're talking about.
Yeah, the north.
That's definitely the quickest. Best
you could venture Donahue if you want to risk the West Mag and Glen intersections. Although those can be dangerous. Those are tough, but you could try to go Donahue all the way down to Drake or something, and then push down.
The route that I took today was not the right one. Otherwise, I'd be here.
Well, you're here though, and we appreciate that. Hey,
this could be an addition to the Grubserver. We could do an all directions sort of show, right, Justin? We could do one about
Justin Ferguson, who's usually with us on Thursdays, is in the studio as well.
I can do 15 minutes on Hemlock, easy, right? As sort of a road you can not the substance.
Where are we talking food? Just like we're gonna poison.
Not the poison.
This show is going in a weird way.
No, the road there, but it crosses over West Meg with the tennis courts. But anyways, Justin Ferguson,
hello,
welcome aboard.
Yeah. So we have a combination of the Tuesday and Thursday shows, which is appropriate. It's Wednesday. Drew's at the controls. It's Bill and Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, and Andy. I mean, how easy was that on Saturday? I'm wondering. You got a chance to call a lot of names.
Yeah. It was there wasn't a lot of drama.
No.
I mean, three plays in, and Jarquez is down the sideline in the end zone for a touchdown.
And that was one of Auburn's longer drives of the game.
Yeah, it was one of those where the time of possession doesn't even come close to telling the story of the game. Because it reminded me a little bit of the early Gus Malzahn teams when he was a coordinator. You know, how quickly Auburn would score and how the time of possession was always in favor of the other squad.
I don't know that I've ever seen a game. I mean, I started just some of the crazy stats and things. And Ferg, I know you're a big numbers guy. But, I mean, some of the things that were going on as we're in the third quarter when Auburn hit 66, they were averaging 2 points a snap.
Well,
they'd run 33 plays and scored 66 points.
We talk so much about offense, and when you score 73 and you do that in a second half that is 10 minutes less.
Right.
Right.
And we all learned that rule this week, by the way. I didn't know that was an option until we started getting some texts. By the way, it's going to be 10-minute quarters. I said, "Can we verify this before I actually say it on the air?" But at one point and I'm not sure this was ever official, but we had counted up 31 different defenders for Auburn had tackles in the game, which I don't remember that happening before.
I keep participation, and I had just about everybody on the sheet. I think five scholarship players didn't play. One of those.
Isaiah Riggs.
One of those, Tyler Scott, who's out for the year.
Yeah. Right.
So, I mean, you had Isaiah Alex Riggs, McPherson. Tyler Scott. And then a couple of offensive linemen, Favor Edwin and Clay Whedon.
Makes sense. I mean, you're trying to rotate 16 or 17 offensive.
Yeah, you want. Yeah, the thing is, you didn't have enough snaps really to get that deep. Almost.
This includes the true freshman, right? This is everyone. I mean, I guess Walker would be another one that's like of the short list of guys who didn't get into the game.
Yes,
right?
He was the other.
And you look, you were talking about the stats. It was like Auburn second most points of anybody in week one. Ole Miss was the only team that scored more. Auburn, fewest plays of anybody in week one, lowest time of possession of anybody not in that Kentucky Southern Miss game that got called off in the second half. Like, it is one of the craziest, like, points per play is a stat that you usually look at in college football for efficiency. And, like, a really good team will be, like, 0.2, 0.3 or something like that. Auburn was way up there. I mean, they finished the game almost nearly two points per play.
46 snaps, 73 points. Yeah.
Has Auburn ever had a true freshman walk-on kicker who is 10 for 10 in extra points the first game he's ever played?
No, because Auburn's...
Maybe not even in a season.
Yes.
You know, exactly.
When did Auburn score its 10th touchdown last year? Like, I wonder how late into...
They, It might have been the Cal game. They scored a lot in that UMass game.
Yeah, that's true. The UMass game, they did score quite a few points in the
they
UMass game.
Did much in the Cal game?
No, they did not.
No.
Should have.
No, fortunately, scored enough.
I watched and they do an excellent job of Auburn football takes clips of the game with your calls and makes a highlight reel of them on YouTube. Obviously favoring the signature Auburn plays in the game. For the Cal game last year.
It's a minute and a half long.
It's,
I watched it today.
I did too. It is the opening kickoff. I believe there's one play in the first quarter. I believe it's a defensive play. You have the it takes about 15 seconds to get to halftime.
Other than the last drive of the game offensively, there wasn't a lot of offensive highlights.
No.
And
there's the Jay Fair touchdown. There's the first half. There's a red zone touchdown.
But after that drive, I went back and saw this today. They had five straight drives of five plays or less. No points in all of them. Now, some of those ended with turnovers.
That was a big problem, I thought, a year ago. Auburn should have put that game away
early
in the fourth quarter. But turnovers kept Cal in it. They eventually took advantage, and it took the final drive and the Rivaldo Fairweather catch. And then an interception by Sam Jackson.
Yeah.
That game should have been – it was not a good game for Auburn in any regard a year ago, other than Auburn picked up a win on the road.
Right.
That's about it.
Well, I would say
Eugene Asante and Rivaldo Fairweather had their coming out parties, and that was about it.
The two names I was about to say. I mean, it's Eugene Asante, who by the end of the game, Andy, you can hear it in your voice. You know, he's making plays, and you're talking about what a performance, what a coming out party for Eugene Asante, who, I mean, it's still...
There are a couple of drives where he just shuts it down. And the whole drive, back-to-back plays, he would just do something.
And it's remarkable to keep in mind that this was a guy who, was at the bottom of the Bill Cameron depth chart when the offseason.
He was at the bottom of...
Well, your one's pretty good. I mean, it's not. You're not. Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I just paid attention.
Exactly. You're just looking at what you see, and he was there at the bottom, and then Rivaldo makes the plays.
I don't want him to hear it and think that I wanted him at the bottom.
No. Although, if you're at the top of the Bill Cameron depth chart, you're probably close to the top of the real one too. In my experience, and Rivaldo makes the third and 17, and the touchdown in the back of the end zone, both of which felt like. Gotta have it moments where if things don't work out, maybe the outcome is different. But it's aside from two players and a handful of plays, it was a frustrating and a very difficult night for Auburn. I think especially offensively.
And what we have heard from every player that we've talked to and Hugh Freeze, Andy, is. You know, this is an opportunity to show that this is not last year's Auburn team.
They will be facing, I think, a good defense this week. I think that's where Cal hangs its hat, so to speak.
Yeah.
Right now, the head coach is a defensive guy, Peter Sermon, their defensive coordinator. I found this out yesterday, off just a second ago. He is married to an Auburn Tigerette.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Wow.
That according to Cole Kublik, who I talked with yesterday morning. He says that Peter Sermon is, I don't know where that occurred, because he played, I think, at Oregon.
Yeah, he's a West Coast guy.
Yeah, he's a West Coast guy. Anyway, and if you listen to Hugh Freeze talk, he talks about 7-44.
Yep.
Coaches don't even use names anymore. You know, Xavier Carlton and David Reese, who are listed as outside linebackers on their two deep. They're the two ends. They're the two rush guys. Those are the ones that you start to look at up front, and that's going to be very interesting to see how they match up with Tutal Miller on one side and Tyler Johnson getting his second collegiate start on the other. That, to me, listen, last week we looked at the left side of that offensive line because for Tyler it was his first start. Auburn manhandled Alabama A&M all night long. If Auburn does the same thing to Cal, I feel pretty good about that offensive line. At this point.
Yeah, what's interesting to me is you go to that Cal game last week, and I know they had some guys out, but they were mostly on the offensive side. They didn't have a sack against UC Davis. They only had three tackles for loss against UC Davis. And I do wonder, though, for Auburn, like, especially if they can get the ball out of Peyton Thorne's hands and get it downfield, like, how much can they minimize those two guys' impact, because it felt like UC Davis did a really good job of that. Now, they forced themselves into some picks late in the game and got out of hand there, but I thought a solid FCS team did a pretty good job of handling them. And, you know, as Free said on Monday, you got to have a plan for those guys. And, you know, I'll be very interested to see what all Auburn tries to do. There wasn't any sacks or tackles for loss given up by Auburn in that game. Very few pressures. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing that stood out to me watching the game back again, and it was not a ton of opportunities, but the ones that we saw, Auburn's running backs did a great job in blitz pickups. Great pass play. There was a couple of plays in a row where Damari Austin just takes out a guy. And so I wonder how much they're going to use that, because now they feel like, hey, we can go use a guy on one-on-ones on the outside and have them win instead of last year.
It was
like,
if
the running back's not going out there, we might not have an option to throw the ball. So that's going to be really key to watch on Saturday, I think.
I'll be watching for news about Jade Knott between now and Saturday. I can't imagine.
I don't think you're going to get any news.
Unless he doesn't travel, which would be a surprise. Yes. You know, if it gets out.
He's probable. It's hard to believe.
Yeah, if it gets out that he didn't travel, that would be a surprise. I would expect him to at least go through warm-ups before they make a decision about whether or not to use him. But whether or not they have a healthy Jade Knott would seemingly be a massive factor in what Cal does as an offense on the road.
That Cal offense changed when he left the game in the third quarter last year out there.
You're right.
Mm-hmm. I mean, he was having a good game against Auburn until the big hit.
Yep.
And then their offense changed quite a bit at that point. So I'll be shocked if he doesn't play Saturday. I just will.
You got to try everything in your bag, basically, for Cal to get him
absolutely
in the game.
334-321-1390. Hey, you can join in. We've got a full room here on the Wednesday Drive. The Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar is one of the ways you can get through, or you can text us.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840, on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available wherever you get your podcasts. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the Podcast Center, or go to your favorite podcasting platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron.
We'll get to our first break. Plenty of time for you to join in here on the Wednesday Drive.
At ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email us at thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into The Drive here on this Wednesday afternoon. Yeah, if I get it wrong sometime, it's just because we've got people here in the studio that aren't usually with us on Wednesdays. Voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham, is here in the studio. Andy, again, about as perfect an opening game as you could have. I mean, a couple of turnovers that Auburn had. They didn't force any turnovers. But, boy, other than that, I mean, you saw, as we were just talking, I mean, Towns Magoo, in his collegiate debut, goes 11 for 11, I guess. Yeah, 10 extra points and a field goal. And, I mean, special teams, Keontae Scott was, you know,
one bad step on the sideline.
A step away from
taking
it to the house. Yeah. I mean, offense, defense.
If there's one thing, and this is picky,
mm-hmm.
Auburn did not force a turnover in the game. But Auburn executed very well against an incredibly outmanned team, as they should have. And that Auburn came out of the game relatively, from what we gather, injury-free, and I think are more healthy going into this game with Isaiah Rakes expected to play on Saturday. He did not play at all this past Saturday against Alabama A&M.
The score suggested caution in the event of an injury. Like, you know, Champ Anthony left, and it felt like, you know, you wonder if in a more competitive game would Champ Anthony have come back, because the score was what it was.
It was definitely managing the snaps kind of thing.
Yeah, like, you know, if that's something, and it does seem like Auburn. I mean, Auburn got as close as you can to forcing a turnover on the J.C. Hart tipped ball. But you're right. No, without forcing a turnover, other than that, hard to take issue with too much of the performance defensively.
And think about Hart and Coach Freese talked about this Monday. He talked about it in the presser. He talked about it on Tiger Talk Monday night as well. Even though J.C. didn't make the play on the pass, and he's going down backwards. He gets up and
runs him down.
Runs him down at the 1 yard line, and then Alabama A&M doesn't score on that drive because they missed two really bad field goal attempts in the game.
Yeah, they did. But I mean, that is a great example. That's something you want to show players. Right. That's why, even if you know, even if something bad happens on the play, you don't give up. You finish the play, and he did.
He did that,
and it ended up resulting. You know,
it also showed me, and something. I mean, I'm pretty familiar with JC's game, but like a lot of people are like, yeah, this is one of the fastest dudes on the team. To be that big and to get up from off the ground and chase somebody down like that,
chase down a receiver.
Yeah, that's it's for real. He may be 6'2", you know, over 200 pounds, but like the dude can fly.
He's the name all camp long that guys were saying. He's the fastest player on this team. And it wasn't coaches. It was his fellow teammates that were saying that about J.C. Hart for a guy that's 6'2", 199.
And we got to see Malcolm Simmons and Bryce
Crane.
This is not a slow team.
No.
Sam Jackson.
I'm still – the most vivid memory for me of fall camp is the first time we got to go in Jordan Hare Stadium and watch him with pads on and seeing Malcolm just go in motion pre-snap. And you realize, like, oh, this is a different – it's a blur
And I'm glad you mentioned Malcolm Simmons, man. Like, football player, not just a receiver, a football player. Dude gets his first career touchdown on special teams and then goes and scores.
And watch the play that he made on the 70-yarder for the touchdown, because he catches the ball and puts his foot in the ground and goes just to his left, and it's over.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. It's over. At that point. Yeah. And he just glides into the end zone.
He's very smooth.
And the Alabama A&M player went flying, but that's not just because it was an Alabama A&M. And as you pointed out last week, a lot of those guys were Division I football players.
There was a lot of guys that had transferred in. I started to do some prep on New Mexico. There are even more on the New Mexico staff. We'll talk about that next week.
Yeah. And New Mexico's got some game to them. That young quarterback played really well against Arizona.
They have. I was going to say, Andy, though, I mean, and part of what all we've been talking about is I've never seen as many players just jump out at you in their debuts like we saw last Saturday.
Well, I mean, Cam Coleman's touchdown pass looked easy, didn't it? You know, but what we saw from Perry Thompson, what we saw from Malcolm Simmons, the touchdown catch that Sam Jackson makes – to end the night.
I thought that was spectacular.
He told me, and he probably told you guys, because I talked to him yesterday after he talked to you guys. He said initially he lost the ball in the lights.
Right. Well, I asked him if the ball was intended for him. Because I couldn't tell.
Well,
free play, go get it.
Yeah. That's exactly right. Yeah. That's what he said. He said it was a free play or freeze play, whichever you want to call it, and they're running vertical. That is, if you see that happen, they're going deep. Every single time.
He said, Hank told him it was intended for him. Of course Hank's going to tell him it's intended for him, because he caught it for a touchdown.
But it was a great
catch
by that young man. And this has got to be an interesting week for him.
Yeah, he talked to us yesterday about how personal this was. Obviously coming from Cal. It didn't sound like any like ill will towards Cal.
None.
But it was one of those, like, he said, like, I hate that I didn't get another opportunity to be their quarterback there, you know, that it went the way it did.
And he does not want to play poorly ever obviously, but especially.
I don't know how much he told you, Andy, but like he had some interesting, and I wrote about it today at the Observer, he had some really interesting like scouting report notes on Cal. And one of the things he said that I thought was really interesting, he said, you watch them in week one, they were playing a lot of man. He said, I would not do that against our receivers. And,
well, that's what they did last year. That's what Justin Wilcox is
they
like.
They were able to last year.
Well, that's right. But, I mean, that's what he likes to do. Yeah. And, he was fun. We ran the interview with him yesterday. And, I mean, he's a really fun guy. It wasn't intentional,
I don't think. But he walked in with the Raiders hat. I was like, that's pretty good. That's pretty good. If you're a guy who left the Bay Area and you wear a Raiders hat walking in, that was pretty slick. Also, Dan, you weren't there yesterday.
No, I was not the player interview.
If you were there yesterday, I would have pointed out his shoes to you. I'm going to try to look him up. He had a pair of Nike Off-Whites on that were probably worth more than my car.
Well, I mean, he talked a lot, Andy. I mean, when he was asked, he said, you know, what do you miss the most? And he said, my teammates. And he said, well, and then the fact that I got to drive 2 hours because I'm a fashion guy. I got to drive 2 hours.
Yeah, he's got some high-end stuff, I know.
I think that Yeah, I'm with you. I mean, I think these guys that he played with last year, he's still very close.
Yes.
With. I don't think there's animosity towards Cal. I don't think there's animosity towards his teammates. However.
Yeah, he made it sound like, look, I had to do something different.
Right.
I had to go move to, you know, wide receiver to have a shot to even play at the next level. And Auburn was the place that would give me that opportunity. And, you know, if I'm a quarterback, and he probably could have stayed at Cal and played wide receiver there. But if I'm a guy who loses a starting quarterback job, you have an opportunity to reset. You get to go play with your high school teammate like that. It was an easy call.
And it's probably the more fair thing to do for Mendoza, the new Cal quarterback, so you don't have the former starter looming as a possible option too. Like, it felt like kind of a mutual thing. Not that, you know, I wouldn't characterize it. There are times when you get the sense there was bad blood in the transfer portal, like with other players.
Right.
There were times when that's happened. You don't necessarily pick up on that with this, but Sam Jackson's still motivated. Andy, I compared the catch he made to when you're feeding a seabird and another one swoops in.
Okay.
Like if you're throwing like, you know, bread to the gulls or something.
I don't know if that ball was going to Bryce Kane, but we all thought in the press box it was going to Bryce Kane, and then all of a sudden,
because Sam wasn't in the picture.
It's odd to see a 50-50 ball with a third option coming in and taking it away, and it's like, well, it was,
or it's a 50-50 ball and the two 50s are on the same team. Like, you don't see that very often, too. I don't know if Alabama was going to make much of a play on that one.
But, Sam Jackson eliminates the possibility with spectacular catch in his debut. And the Perry Thompson plays, which becomes sort of an, oh, by the way, like, he's so
Perry
impressive.
Perry Thompson catches the ball the way you love to see a receiver catch it. He just grabs it with his hands. I mean, he's not waiting. You know, you see a lot of receivers, and we've seen it way too many times in the past, of guys waiting to pull the ball into their chest, you know, and sort of, catch
big
it
man,
that way, catch
big
it
man,
with their
big
chest.
Hands. He's...
Absolutely. He just reaches out and snatches the ball.
This receiving corps, here's one thing that always struck me about Georgia. As long as I've covered Auburn, is their receivers look like dudes. Their receivers are physical, and they're athletic, and they're big.
Mm-hmm.
This group of Auburn receivers, to me, reminds me of what Georgia has brought into Jordan-Hare Stadium forever. Since they decided they're gonna throw the football, that's what this group of receivers, to me, reminds me of.
I would think that that's been... I mean, Alabama has had moments with as much receiver
Julio,
talent.
Julio, a lot of their guys haven't been just as physical appearing.
Yeah, exactly. They've had a lot of little guys do well.
Really, really good
the
ones.
Program, yeah. The program that comes to mind for me, where it's like, who consistently has – who has Auburn played, and they don't play him this year, but who has Auburn played every year for 20 or 25
LSU
years?
LSU with those 6'2", 6'3", 200-pound guys that can outrun everybody.
Since Nick Saban's first season, it feels like LSU has had an NFL receiver on that roster.
And Clemson, like, Clemson got Nuke Hopkins and was like, what if we had four of them every year? And that was like how they went. It's how they recruit every year in and year out.
And it's something, the lack of that.
See those guys there now.
Well, you know what? I was about
they
to say
some, that. They got some good guys, but they ain't got anybody to get the ball.
The lack of players like that is one of the striking things about both Florida and Florida State this year.
Yes.
Not the only issue, but I would say one of them is, I mean, how many years have you looked at the SEC and said, Florida feels like they're in the bottom three or four in running back and receiver talent? Because that's where we are like right now, and it's a strange place to be, and we're seeing how hard it is to generate offense and generate big plays when you don't have confidence in your players at those positions, which is something Auburn, not at running back and receiver year in and year out, but Auburn has had... Auburn has had to try to overcome a lack of big playability at the receiver position for years, and with uneven results. Feels like maybe things could be a little bit different this season.
I go back to something I asked Freeze sometime in fall camp, and I was like, look, you've had a lot of freshman receivers play under you. What's the defining characteristic of like how you get to be a kid straight out of high school to play on your team? And he had two things, but the first one is you got to look like an SEC receiver, and it's like we have several that look like that. And Auburn may have one or two guys year in and year out, but it's been a while since they've been able to stack guys, and they don't even have to be monsters too. Like Keandre Lambert-Smith, looks like a dude that you would
Malcolm would look, Simmons does.
Yeah, for a guy who's a little shorter. Yeah, absolutely.
And that's a good point, Justin. That's a very good point because we talk about receiving core. And let's give some credit where Hugh Freeze has had those kind of guys. Mm-hmm. He's had those 1,000-yard receivers. That's been the norm for Hugh, especially at Ole Miss. Hadn't been the norm at Auburn for a long time.
No, you're right.
Those 1,000-yard receivers. I think that he is recruiting to make that a thing of the past at this point.
Might be a little difficult if you keep spreading the ball around to, you know, six, seven guys, but I mean, it's great to have six or seven guys that can go out there and make plays.
You can have a dangerous offense without big play threats at receiver, but it's a lot harder. It's a lot harder.
I mean, it's much more dangerous when you do have that deep threat. All right, we need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Again, we'd love for you to join in. I mean, it's great here, sort of at the round table, if you will. I mean, with Andy and Justin, along with Bill and Dan. Got Drew at the controls. Come on in and join us. The Drive Hotline, 334-321-1390, as we continue with the Wednesday Drive.
ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday Drive. 22 minutes away from 5 o'clock here on the show with Andy Burcham, voice of the Auburn Tigers, with us for a couple of more segments. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer around for the show. You going to the? So you're going to make it to the Braves game tomorrow?
Yes, as long as it doesn't rain. Yeah, we shuffled things around.
It looks like tomorrow may be okay.
Yeah, life of a sports writer though. So I have those season tickets for the Braves, me and Jordan Hill, mm-hmm. who used to cover Auburn here, now he covers Georgia.
As a sports writer, it would be Jordan Hill and I, but
correct. we have our season tickets.
I can't help it. That was my mom used to always do that.
We had our season tickets, and, you know, last month or so with football getting started up, we've been going kind of back and forth. We hadn't gone to a game at the same time in a while, and so we're like, all right, let's try this. So we rearranged it. He texts me today and goes, yeah, I can't make it to the game tomorrow night. Very sports writer thing here. Out of nowhere, George is like, hey, our AD and our president will be here to talk to y'all tomorrow night. So get ready for that. And
oh,
I was like,
okay,
that's a good reason to not miss. But, yeah, I'll be up there. I'll be up there tomorrow night. So looking forward to it. Hopefully, I would love to see the end of a sweep maybe. We'll have to see what they do tonight. But they played pretty well against the Rockies. Chris Sale.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cy Young.
What is he, 16-3?
Yeah, he's got a good shot at the pitcher triple crown.
Is there anyone close to him for the Cy Young right now? Is there anyone close?
I can't imagine who.
I would think Wheeler might be in the running, but not.
Yeah, but he's
kind of close to Sale numerically. I mean, Skeens was there earlier, but it's probably not anymore.
Rookie.
You talk about one of the. The trades, one of the best trades I can remember in a long time. Poor Von Grissom. I hope it works out for him.
Well, I mean, you know,
Buddy has been struggling
this
year.
With Chris Sale, I mean, and it's crazy because the Braves have had so many injuries, but I mean, it's when Chris Sale's healthy.
Oh, yeah.
He's great.
Yeah.
Yes, he is.
It's amazing.
Dylan Cease has had a good season in San Diego, but again, probably not.
Nobody.
These are guys because you have to vote for three. On your ballot, like these are other players that you might need to mention.
But you're right, Bill. They go and get the guy who's so injury prone, and he's been all world for him this year. In a year where the Braves opening day lineup got to play together once, opening day. Sean Murphy gets hurt, and then everything goes sideways from there.
Wow. And Andy, before we look at Cal, let's talk a little basketball news coming out today. Auburn. Rounding out, you know, releasing its non-conference schedule, and we knew the big names, some of the big names on there, but boy, it's still. I mean, this is a just an amazingly strong schedule. Obviously, Bruce saying it's the toughest he's ever played.
That's the understatement.
I can't imagine him playing a tougher one.
I can't either. I can't anybody. I can't imagine anyone playing a tougher schedule than Auburn this year. When you then you add Richmond. And you add Georgia State at home, And every one of the tough games that you play in the non-conference is away from Neville Arena. Houston in Houston, although it's a neutral game.
Yeah.
It's at the Toyota Center there. When you get Purdue in Birmingham, you get Ohio State in Atlanta. You get Duke at Duke. Am I missing one?
Purdue?
Yeah, I don't know. Okay. Yeah, he said Purdue.
Oh,
yeah.
Okay.
I mean, that's brutal. It's brutal.
In the Maui field.
And then, oh, yes.
That, oh, yeah.
Yes, the Maui.
Maui field, you're opening with an Iowa State team that T-Rank has as number three in the country coming
right
into the year.
So exactly.
You play one, two, and three.
Yeah, you could get Iowa. You could get Iowa State, perhaps, and North Carolina in the first two rounds there.
Yeah.
And then maybe UConn waiting in the winner's bracket or elsewhere.
Yep.
I mean, can you imagine that those three games possibly? Iowa State, North Carolina, and two-time defending champ UConn on back-to-back-to-back days.
Be fun.
Leading into the Iron Bowl.
Go ahead.
Well, I was going to say it doesn't make sense to schedule like this if you don't have the utmost confidence in your team, because
right,
like why schedule if you, or and for that matter, if you don't feel confident not just in your team's potential or your team's talent, but knowing what you have. You wouldn't do this with five new starters because it would put them, I mean, you could jeopardize their confidence in the first 2 months of the season. I feel like Bruce Pearl knows that with his group, not only are they ready to play these games, maybe they can, you know, maybe they can win one or two of them.
And the interesting thing is they added teams to their home schedule. I mean, Mike Burgermaster always does a really good job of finding value in these bye games that they get.
I love whenever we can work a Burgo.
Oh yeah, absolutely.
Referencing
Vermont, preseason favorite in the America East last year, they were a 13 seed. This is one of the better mid-major teams you can go get. Kent State went 500 last year, but a lot of people are expecting them to be better this year. Third in the MAC preseason projections. Richmond won the A-10 regular season title last
Spiders
year. Did not get to the tournament, but won the A-10. And then Monmouth is a team that in the CAA kind of hangs out in the top half most years. UNA, Georgia State, towards the lower tier of their own conferences, but obviously UNA's still getting used to playing D1 ball. Georgia State's been in the midst of a rebuild. But, I mean, like, that's really – You already played this really, really tough schedule, and the games that you feel like Auburn should be able to take care of business, those will look good on a resume. Like they can beat Vermont at home, take care of business in the first game of the season. By the end of the year, people are going to look back and say, "Well, that's another NCAA tournament team they could play a 13 seed last season." Like that is, you don't go just go pick those teams up if you just want something easy.
Not to mention
teams like that.
This team is starting conference play with five of their first eight on the road.
Right.
Yes. including some pretty significant ones. That trip at Texas, your first SEC road game is going to be in Austin, Texas. You close with A&M, Kentucky, and Alabama in SEC play. I mean, it's a non-conference schedule that gets the team ready for some of the more challenging aspects of conference play. Obviously, Bruce Pearl was thinking about the postseason when he scheduled this as well. But it's a schedule that will have a team ready to contend with a conference schedule that has some very challenging stretches in it.
And both Alabama games are on Saturdays this year.
Yeah. A lot of the fun conference games are on Saturdays.
Do you remember, Bill, closing at home against Alabama?
No.
I don't remember that either.
No, it's usually around. There'd be one around signing day when signing day would
That's
be
good
that,
point.
That,
yep.
that first Wednesday in February or whatever, and then toward the end of the month. I never recall closing the season. We've had a couple late, but not the very last one.
We talked about it though. Bringing them to Saturdays is like Duke, North Carolina gets that treatment. Kentucky, Tennessee almost always gets that treatment every year.
Well,
about time Auburn, Alabama gets that treatment.
The league's finally realizing who are the teams that have been winning conference championships of late.
Absolutely.
And don't look like they're going to be long shots this year either. My goodness.
Absolutely not.
By the way, signing day this year, the Duke game, same day.
Yep.
Like Auburn,
I am always on the road during signing
Auburn,
day. I will never cover a normal signing day anymore. I'm always doing
left
basketball.
I mean,
early signing day.
I was
day,
in
the
Seattle
December,
2 years ago for signing day. I can't remember where I was last year, but I wasn't around here. Yeah, it's always.
We need to take a break. We're gonna do the Cal thing. Can I because it was announced today, can I tell Andy about Troy's schedule a little bit, Bill? Because we just got it. We got it today.
Sure.
Officially announced. Troy women. Two home games in November and December combined. So they're just they're going on the road.
Getting paid.
Yeah, listen to this.
Yeah, Bill knows a little bit about the schedule, Andy.
I'm going to need some help.
November 4th, we open at Buffalo in the Sunbelt MAC Challenge.
I've done a women's game there.
Then we're headed to Bozeman to take on Montana State. On November 7th,
beautiful city.
We return home, quick turnaround, because that's Sunday,
that's
November 10th.
Right?
Yes.
How beautiful is it in November? I don't know.
That's what I said.
November 10th, third game of the season, we're in Tuscaloosa against Alabama. Then we go to Chattanooga, take on the Mocs a couple days later. Then we're in Baton Rouge, take on LSU. It's five true road games, your first five games. Then we hop on a plane, and we are headed to tropical Anchorage, Alaska, where we will be in the Alaska shootout, taking on.
I've always wanted, and I don't think they have the men's Alaska shootout. Always wanted to do that tournament.
So I'm headed there with the Trojans.
That's awesome.
Alaska Anchorage we will play, and then we're going to play the winner of Vermont, North Dakota State, in the second game of that tournament. We play at Mississippi Valley State, so we're headed to Itabena.
Never been there,
and that's the beginning. We play two home games in December. Oakwood and Memphis come to town, and then we go to Cherokee, North Carolina, for the tournament in Cherokee. Toledo and the winner of Arkansas and Liberty will be playing, and that is our non-conference schedule. We're at James Madison to open Sunbelt play on December 29th. But but I get to cross a couple of states I've never been to.
Very much.
I was going to say Bill's going to be doing the show by himself.
That's the Alaska tournament is the week of the A&M game. Those are the Friday Saturday of A&M. But I get to cross. I've never been to Montana, and I have never been. It's been about 25 years since I've been outside the continental United States. So I'm going to be excited about making the trip up to Anchorage, Alaska.
I'd be excited about doing that tournament.
Yeah, I've never been. Should be. And I believe I'm also. I probably need to be in D.C. that week because we got a date for my grandfather and Arlington. So I got a couple things to do that week.
Arlington to Anchorage.
Baton Rouge. The team said they're willing to accommodate me. They're gonna try to hook me up there and get me from Dulles or Reagan to Anchorage, Alaska. But that could be a busy week, Bill.
Yeah, I'll be here probably.
Don Dunn's listening, right, Coach?
Yeah, there we go. That's right. All right.
Coach was great with Andy.
He's on the podcast this week.
Oh, good.
He's on the Talking Tigers podcast this week, talking about that 04 team. It was fun.
Yeah, he is a ton of fun. We will get to our final break. We'll come back. We will take a look at Auburn, Cal, and more here on the Wednesday Drive.
The Edward Viacom.
Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7 and online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome back in. Final segment of hour number one here on the Wednesday Drive. Bill and Dan joined by the voice of the Tigers, Andy Burcham. Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer also along as we wind things down here for the first hour. And yes, we talked about it a little early on, Andy, the Cal Golden Bears coming in this Saturday. They're making the first of quite a few trips they're making across the country as they're now members of the ACC. That's crazy.
I can't imagine what that schedule's like for any of those teams in the ACC.
They're in Tallahassee in 2 weeks.
Yeah. To make those trips back and forth the way they're going to, it's going to be crazy. I hope they enjoy the money.
Yeah. I hope they get enough.
Yeah,
exactly. For this. But, I mean, this is a Cal team that is – very different offensively. They have a different offensive philosophy. They look like, I mean, they're trying to run the just wide open run and shoot type offense now.
It's going to be very interesting to see how Auburn reacts to that from a defensive standpoint, because Auburn just dominated in every phase of the game last week. I mean, what did we learn about the Auburn defense last week? I mean, they did exactly what they wanted to do. They manhandled Alabama A&M. They did so up front, other than the one broken play that J.C. Hart then made a great play just to keep the guy out of the end zone. And then there was one interference penalty.
Yeah.
It's hard to nitpick what Auburn did wrong from a defensive standpoint last week. I thought Caleb Harris had a big – he was a name that I mentioned a lot in the second half of that game.
Hey, how about Robert Woodyard making as many plays?
Yes.
I mean, a guy that a lot of people have been waiting to see for
a while.
Well,
I mean, he's a great story, isn't he?
Awesome story.
Because, you know, last year it was Eugene Asante that kind of came out of nowhere after playing on the scout team. This year it could be Robert Woodyard because mm-hmm. he was the scout team defensive player of the year for Auburn. And now given the opportunity that he is, I think, will excel at that spot. So how will Cal be able to move the ball against this? I don't know exactly against this defense. I think this Auburn offense is primed. I don't care who it is out there. I'm not going to say that Auburn's going to score 70.
No, I mean, and
but if Auburn executes the way it did last Saturday night in both phases of the game, we really didn't see a lot of the run game.
No.
In a game that was kind of a blowout, because it would have been easy in that second half just to give it, you know, hand off right, hand off left, and just be done with it. And Auburn didn't do that.
I love what Hugh Freeze and the players have said. It's like they're going to do what they've been coached to do all along.
Take what the defense gives you.
If the defense is overplaying the run, they're going to throw it.
Well, and a year ago, teams were able to do that,
right,
and do it successfully against Auburn. I don't think that's the case now.
Andy, you've obviously covered a lot of and called a lot of Auburn games in the past. The one thing that stands out to me from that game, what you want to take forward, is that we've seen Auburn play a lot of teams that weren't on their level. We hadn't seen them throw the ball quite as effectively in that one. That to me, I think, could be the prevailing thing from this season.
Not just throw it, but have wide open receivers.
Yeah.
As Auburn did, especially on the deep balls last Saturday night. Now, is that just because the receivers can actually get some separation that a year ago they didn't go to do a very good job of?
I think that's part of it. We'll find out more Saturday. Andy, before we run out of time, you mentioned Don Dunn on the podcast. Let everybody know what you got going.
Yeah, Don Dunn on the podcast this week. Bianca Webb is our guest on Monday. She's the director of recruiting operations and special events for Auburn football. Kind of takes us behind the scenes on a big football recruiting weekend. Do I have time here? I'm going to run out of time real quick.
That's all right.
Rowdy Gaines, David Marsh, Cam Stutz, and Benji Rowland on the pregame Saturday.
Achilles tendonitis is often as painful as it sounds.
The Drive with Bill Cameron and Dan Peck on ESPN 106.7. And online at ESPNAU.com. To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502. Or email The Drive at ESPNAU.com.
Welcome in, hour number two of the Wednesday Drive. Hope everybody doing well. Man, what a beautiful day it's been today. I got a lot of stuff done outside today because it was nice. It wasn't terribly humid. It wasn't terribly hot. I had thought, now, Dana, correct me on this. You usually are checking the weather.
Plugged in.
No. I mean, it still looks like Saturday should be nice weather, but I believe now the rain has sort of been moved back to almost all Friday.
Well, we actually have some weather-related news on this front. Lee Scott has moved Friday's game because of inclement weather. Lee Scott and Childersburg were going to play on Friday. That game has been moved to Thursday the 5th, and that's because of the expectation that the weather in Auburn the weather on Friday could be around the southeast.
Yes.
Could be
like a good bit of rain, even though, I mean, we may not get as much as we had thought we were going to get, but Friday looks like a pretty rainy day.
Tomorrow
looks all right.
We have a 95% chance of rain on Friday, according to Apple, and those clouds are expected to linger all day long on Friday. It seems like by the time
Saturday for the forecast for the game looks pretty good.
Seems like by the time tailgates get going around Saturday morning, the rain should have passed, but you're going to have like a pretty rainy Friday and overnight Friday night into Saturday before things get going. High Saturday is 83.
How about that?
So it could be a bit milder.
That's more than a bit milder. That's like 15 degrees.
And some folks would say, "Oh, well, you wanted it to be as brutal as possible for a visiting team from the West Coast." I don't know if those people are in the stadium.
Yeah, I would say maybe people watching or people that are in air conditioned suites.
Yeah, or
something might want that.
Yeah, they're the Lego
TV, but no, the one sitting in the stands, I don't think they wanted it to be 100 degrees.
They're in our Lego block, you know what?
Yes.
But no, it seems
like it was hot enough just walking to get in to the press box last week, and I spent a good deal of time in and out of the press box because our seats aren't too far down, and I wanted to go down and visit with the family and everything, but I was so glad to get back in the box every time because it was miserable last week.
Watched him with Ferg at halftime, and we haven't talked about this at very much on the air, at least with me around. I know I missed some of it yesterday with the practice. Alabama A&M's band.
Oh, yeah. Phenomenal.
It was a blast.
Oh, they brought it.
My granddaughter, she absolutely... Yeah. She loved it. She was dancing with them.
They got a fan. They got a big fan of Kennedy.
Oh, yeah.
But they were wonderful. And yeah, I thought really cool. Very appreciative Jordan Hare Stadium crowd for A&M's band. More so than you usually get, I think, for the visiting band at halftime. And yeah, they absolutely brought it. A killer show from the Bulldogs.
Yeah, it really was. That was it was fun. I mean, so look, it was. The weather may have been, miserable the way it is a lot of the times in August, but you couldn't ask for a much better opening game. I mean, with the performance of the Auburn offense, the defense, the special teams, the halftime show, I mean, it was a great show. Now, as we start hour number two and remind you, in case you haven't been with us, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer, who's usually with us on Thursdays, is in here today. But Justin, now let's see what Auburn does against an FBS school, a much better opponent this week in Cal than Auburn had last week in Alabama.
Yeah, and a power conference opponent, a team that went to the bowl game last year, a team that took you to the wire last season in their place. Like, it is a matchup that's going to be a lot tougher, and I think that's been the big thing we've heard from Hugh Freeze and his and players throughout the week is just like, yeah, they know that it ain't going to be anywhere near as easy as it was, this past Saturday against Alabama A&M. It's going to be interesting to see what you get out of Cal. That Cal team didn't play super well against UC Davis for most of that game. It was 31-13 final. I think that scoreline's a little flattering to Cal. They had a kick return touchdown. They had three interceptions that they were able to use the field position to take advantage of. Didn't have 300 yards of offense. Jay Knott goes down. They give up some plays in the back end on defense, and it's really interesting to see.
But it's a game one, too.
Like, how much better do you get from game one to game two?
And how much were they not really worried about their opponent last week, knowing that they've got that road trip this week?
Yeah, no, this is a team that I think Auburn's a 13.5, 14-point favorite. A lot of analytics would say that's about right, maybe a little more. I think SP's got Auburn now by 16. It's a game that I think if Auburn plays to their capabilities, they should be able to take care of business. I think talent-wise, it is pretty stark, the difference between an Auburn and a Cal. This is I need to look that up in the team talent composite. But
what were your feelings, or what were the numbers saying a year ago?
A year ago, Auburn was a 5-point road favorite there, and they were about a touchdown better. So I think they are that team. I think they are better. I don't know how much Cal is better, and especially if Jay Knott's not 100%. Their defense last season, I think Sam Jackson said it this week. He's like, they're going to be in the right position. They're going to play hard. It's just talent wise. I don't think they can match up with our dudes. That's kind of the big thing here. Like, Cal, well drilled on defense, a lot of returning starters. You've got Justin Wilcox, Peter Sermon. Like, they've done that. There were some games last season where Cal won because they played that gritty, hard nosed defense, got enough on offense, won. There were also games where, like, Oregon and USC, some of these others, where they got shredded.
Well, it's by really good offenses. Because they weren't built. That's one of those type teams. That's one of the reasons why you make some changes offensively is you have to be able, in case you get down by 10 or more points, that you're not out of a ball game.
I would think Cal is in a situation that Auburn has been in lately where the offense did not perform all that well week one against an overmatched FCS opponent. Cal had under 300 yards total offense. You know, in a game that was still close. You know, they had to score a late touchdown to pull away, but it was a one score game for most of the first three and a half quarters or so, and Cal still finishes the game with less than or fewer than,
right,
Bill, but they under 300 yards of total
fewer
offense.
Fewer because
you can count.
That's right.
You can
count. Fewer than 300 yards.
Quantifiable
of total offense there. And Ott had been largely held in check before he exited the game with the leg injury in the second half. And Auburn has been in those situations, right, where underachieving offensive performance in week, now I'm not talking about this year, but Auburn in the past has been in situations where the offense underachieved in week one, and you're saying, well, were they just holding everything back? Were they keeping it vanilla on purpose because they have a much tougher opponent in week two? And usually you don't see that offensive explosion against the much better opponent in week two. Now, Cal's offense could play a lot better at Jordan-Hare Stadium in week two.
They had a transfer wide receiver from Ohio State that didn't play on Saturday. So, yeah, that's another big
there
one.
Are reasons, but I keep thinking about, like, these feel like the conversations we had when Auburn didn't play well offensively against San Jose State. No, and it's right. Like, well, how's it going to look when Penn State
comes right, to town? Just because Auburn didn't have those explosions doesn't mean.
Well, I mean, how many times have you seen that team do that? Right, you know, usually the really good offenses, you know, just put the other team in a shredder in week one, no matter what.
What feels more likely, especially with Cal having to then take the show on the road.
If you're good, you don't have to hold anything back on offense put up points.
And I think that Cal's, I mean, it feels crazy because of how often Auburn's offense struggled last year, but the Cal offense is going to decide, I think, a lot of, like, what does this game look like in the first, because if Cal's, I mean, it doesn't feel like this is a game where 13 is going to win it for you.
No.
Or you know, the winning team's going to have 16. Maybe that's what we're looking at on Saturday, but I'd be really surprised
if the winning team has 16. By the way,
if you look at 247's talent composite, Auburn is 18th in the country in terms of on-paper talent heading into the year. They have 1 5-star, 42 four-stars, former four-stars on their team. That's 18th in the country. Cal is 47th. They have 18 four-stars, 0 5-stars. So in terms of just pure blue chips, Auburn has about 2.5 times as many blue chips on their roster as Cal does. So, like, it's one of those games where, on a talent perspective, Cal is along the lines of a Vanderbilt. They are not too far back from what you would see out of, you know, like a Georgia Tech right now. Like, that's kind of the neighborhood they're in. What do those teams have to do to win on the road? What do those teams have to do to win, period? They play really clean football. They don't make a lot of mistakes. They come in and they know what they're doing. I think that's the case on defense. Offensively, there's just so much unknown because they've got a new offensive style. Ott wasn't able to finish that game against UC Davis. Obviously, he didn't finish the game against Auburn last season too. So it's going to be really, really interesting to see kind of how all that plays out. But on paper, every advantage you can think of tilts towards Auburn, but these games aren't played on paper.
334-321-1390. That is the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. Love for you to join us on that.
You can also text the show, 334-564-1840 on the Drive text box, presented by our friends at Southeastern Industrial Contractors. They also sponsor the podcast, available however you get your podcast. Go to ESPNAU.com and use the podcast center, or go to your favorite podcast platform and search for The Drive with Bill Cameron.
Let's get to the Drive hotline, and Tex gets us started this hour. Hey, Tex.
Hey, Tex.
Hey, I can text the show by just calling in.
That's yes, you can.
Tex.
The text box.
Well, yes. We'll give them your number, anyway, and that can be the new text box, okay?
No, please. No, too many people have this number, and I'd like to cut that back by a bunch. But anyway, Dan, you mentioned something about good enough offense to hold back and play vanilla. I think we were reasonably vanilla against Alabama A&M. I don't think we showed a whole lot. We ran some basic routes and basic route trees, and our running game was, I think we probably could have scored just as many if we kept running the football.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, Texley. And I wrote about it earlier in the week. Like, Dan and I have been talking about it as well. It's like, yeah, a lot of what Auburn did was they just looked at the box and said, okay, if there's this many here, we're going to run it. If it's this many here, we're going to throw it. And if we're going to throw it, we're going to throw it to the guy who's single covered. And that happened over and over and over again.
Yeah. Well, and then Justin, I was fine in the discussion until you mentioned Vanderbilt, because I was at that game last year. And even though we pulled away late,
yeah,
I don't know. And besides it being the biggest dump of a stadium I've ever been in, my understanding is they fixed some of it. I was not comfortable throughout that game.
Very fair.
And then I see that their core, Vandy's now got the quarterback that scorched us from New Mexico State.
Correct. Mm-hmm. That game's gotten a whole lot more interesting this offseason.
Yeah, so I'm not overly happy about that. So I've seen games where we're supposed to win and we didn't, and I've seen games where we weren't supposed to win and we did. I don't think we're at the point in our development as a getting back to a real contender to be able to take anybody for granted.
Oh, absolutely not.
You know, I think we have to play the game, be as efficient as we were offensively. By the way, Coach Freeze getting on Thorne for missing that reasonably easy throw. I actually happen to like that, because that tells me he's looking, I hate to use the word perfection, but he's looking for consistency and making the plays when the plays are there. I really, really like that. But I also like the fact, as Bill mentioned to me earlier today, that Peyton was laughing about it, because it's true, he knew that he messed up.
Yeah.
And he can take it, and he wasn't pouting about it afterwards. Just as when JC jumped for the interception and it went off his hands, he chased the guy down. I don't know how he did that, but he did. So I really like the attitude and the approach of this team. I think we'll play extremely well. As somebody that drives a long way to come to football games, I wasn't happy that they did cut it to 10-minute quarters in the second. I mean, 10-minute, yeah, 10-minute quarters in the second half, because my ticket was for 60 minutes.
I get that for sure.
Dude, I drive 417 miles. Do the math. And 417 back. I would prefer to get the
not always
60 minutes of football, but yeah, I understand the why. But anyway, look, I like the way we played, and I'm gonna get a little bit off topic real quick, and then let you guys go. I saw on Instagram today a discussion or an advertisement about Auburn baseball going to Ranger Stadium this mm-hmm. year. I've had my ticket since the day that was announced. Looking forward to that. I am excited about baseball and excited about what I saw with the stadium coming down there. And then I'm trying to figure out, are we really going to be good enough for the basketball schedule? That's an interesting approach to me.
Yeah, it's very much a similar approach to, I think, the way Alabama took it last year when they loaded up their schedule and kind of lived with the consequences, and they felt like it served them better by the end. But yeah, I think Bruce Pearl came out of last season looking at what happened to Auburn with their seeding in the NCAA tournament and said, all right, we can't have strength of schedule hurt us anymore.
Mark Few has scheduled like this a couple of times out at Gonzaga, right, where he's had a couple of games, you know, against super, you know, multiple games in November and December away from home against superpowers. And it's generally not something you do unless you have the utmost confidence in your roster. And I think mm-hmm. with Bruce bringing four starters back from last year's SEC tournament champion and a team that contended for the regular season title all year long, I think he thinks he can he can hang in some of these games. They don't need the false confidence of demolishing an overmatched team at home the way you might want to schedule some of those games if you had a brand new roster.
Yeah. And one last thing, I used to always sit in the east upper deck, and now my seats are down below the concourse on the visiting team side. I like it when it's cool on 11:30 or 11 o'clock or 11:30 games and 2:30 games. But what you get there is you hear a lot of things. I will tell you, as impressive as a band that I've ever seen was Alabama A&M. Mm-hmm. And that's saying a lot because the human jukebox is Southern University here in Baton Rouge.
Right.
And they can match them step for step. But also, kudos to Auburn University's band. When they took the field that night for the opening, as impressive as I've seen them mm-hmm. do it. It was crisp. It was loud. And I was really proud of the Auburn faithful because I was shocked to see what the stadium looked like when I sat down. 35 minutes before kickoff, and we were about full.
Yeah, it really was.
That actually really surprised me, and people stayed. So, all right, guys, y'all take care. Yes, I will be there this weekend.
All right, Tex, good hearing from you.
I hope they don't cut it to 10-minute quarters.
I don't think they will.
All right, take care.
All right. Bye. We're just underway here in hour number two of the drive. Second hour of the show brought to you, as usual, by the good folks at the Orthopedic Clinic, East Alabama's go-to center for orthopedic care with locations in Auburn and Opelika. Do we need to get to break?
Yes.
G, hang on. Is that who we got?
Greg.
Greg, hold on. We need to get to our first break. You're up when we come back here on the Wednesday Drive.
From the pros, Russell DeWitt Center at Building Supply.
Russell DeWitt the Drive. Call 334-321-1390. Toll free at 888-382-7502 or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into the Wednesday. See, I knew I was going to ship one time. I made it an hour and a half.
Ferg's here. That's
right.
What it is.
Justin Ferguson's here. That's usually Thursday. But, no, he's going to be in Atlanta. It looks like weather's going to be okay for you tomorrow in Atlanta.
It's good. It's good. I was hoping, you know, when we were planning it out this week, trying to go to a game, I was like, okay, I can get done with a lot of my work if I can get it done ahead, and I can do Thursday, and that's usually a good day for me, and had to move some things around. But then it was like, oh, is the weather going to get us?
Nah, it looks like the rain's pretty much going to be here Friday and then cool things off, hopefully, for Saturday. Let's get back to the Drive Hotline, sponsored by Skybar. And Greg is up next. Hey, Greg.
Hey, guys. How y'all doing?
Hey, Greg.
Well, I'll tell you what, we got some young studs. I hope we can keep them humble enough. I'm just wary of that the freshman slump, I guess you would call it.
Well, the thing is, they've got some guys that are pushing each other, and it's not like there's just one of them out there that's going to get the opportunity. So, I mean, they've got a little friendly competition, and you know, with the some of the experienced guys, you know, at receiver, Keandre Lambert Smith, Robert Lewis, Sam Jackson, those guys, along with the young ones, Justin. I mean, it's going to. It's not like, oh, you put one or two of them out there and they're out there on every play either.
Yeah, no, the rotation they had at that position on Saturday was huge. You know, you had guys just playing a handful of plays. And I know they didn't play very many snaps overall, but like guys got to rotate. A lot of guys got work out there, and that's how it's going to be. Free set. I don't really care who starts. We saw Malcolm Simmons get on the field on that first play because that was just the play they had called in that one. That was the set they had called, and they're going to play 6, 7, 8 guys at receiver. They're just going to keep them rolling.
Fans have got to be excited with the fact that, hey, just because if a deep pass isn't completed, that doesn't mean they may not throw again on the next play. I mean, he wants fresh guys in there to be able to try to wear that defense down.
Well, they got a good mixture, like you said. And I don't know. It's just the pessimist in me. It's been a bad couple of years, I guess you'd say, mediocre ball.
Oh, it has.
And you know, Freeze has come in. You can tell. He's put his mark on it, and he's turned some things around in some key positions with key players. You know, I heard y'all talking a while ago about the blue chip ratio and everything. And you got some quality guys in some quality spots on that team. And, you know, Alabama and A&M, yeah, it was a fun game to watch. But the only thing I could say out of the whole game that kind of ticked me off is toward the end right there. But I was wanting to break the scoring record. I'd already looked it up, and I was all over Twitter trying, you know, hey, let's break it, let's break it. And naturally, you look up and Ole Miss scored 76. I was like, well, ain't that just ironic?
If they'd played 15-minute quarters, Auburn would have broken it. It would have been hard for them not to.
Which scoring record are we talking about? The scoring record from the Chattanooga game in the 90s, or are we going back to when Auburn scored
94 against Tech?
You got to get past 76.
76 is the Chattanooga game, right?
I think that's what it was. I was looking at the most points scored, and I think it said 76. I could be wrong, maybe.
Yeah, I know people were talking about games from like the before World War II.
Oh yeah,
as games. Yeah. But no, you're right. I believe. What were you saying? It wasn't Jordan Hare when Auburn did it in, or no, it would have been Jordan Hare in the
it was
in the 90s. Yeah, for the Chattanooga game. It's second most ever for Auburn. You're right. They could have gotten if they'd really pushed it. They could have tried to break the record that's been there for 30 just about 30 years.
Well, it'd have been nice, you know. But hey, look, I'll take what we got, and you know, it's nice to see. You got more than just one guy you can throw to. You got multiple guys that ain't catch the dang ball. I mean, you know, last year if we just caught the ball in a few games, the record would have been different then. But you can tell Freeze is – I'm hoping I can tell, you know, after one game you can't really say a lot about them. But this game's going to tell not only me, it's going to tell everybody, you know, what this the mental aspect of this team, you know. And Freeze, I think he's got his thumb on them. And he knows, hey we got to win. I'm going to tell you something. He's on the cusp right here doing something pretty dang special. And I know y'all guys know it, and it's almost like somebody throwing a no-no. You don't want to touch him. You don't want to talk to him. Nothing. But he knows if he performs good. Guys, if we win 8-9 games this year, I'm going to tell you right now, if you win 8 games this year, you're going to have a chance to win more than 8. If you're struggling to get 8, that's a different thing. But we get past – if we get the Oklahoma game and we get past that right there, I don't just want to hang in. I don't want no more victories. Let's just play some clean, hard-nosed football and show these guys, hey, this is the new standard for Auburn. This is where we're supposed to be. But hey, you know, I'm tired of, hey, the ones you're supposed to win, you lose. The ones you ain't supposed to win, you win. That's the Tuberville era. And then you got to mix the miles on it. You know, let's just play some clean football and let's go out there and roll the dice and see what happens here. And I'd love to see them do what they can do here. And then this recruiting class. You pull this recruiting class in, and then next year, you know, you probably don't even sign a quarterback next year. You know, and next year you probably just fill in little gaps here and there. And, hey, you know.
I think they want to sign a quarterback. I think they want to sign a good quarterback every year, Greg.
Well, you know, but look what your quarterback room is going to look like. I mean, you want five quarterbacks.
Somebody may leave, but you always.
Greg, if I had to predict next year's quarterback room, I would say two guys who are currently on this year's team, a freshman and an incoming transfer, are going to compete in spring practice to be your starting quarterback next year.
Oh, I ain't no doubt. I mean, did y'all pay attention to see what Walker White was or not? I mean, I was looking hard. He stayed right there. He was shadowing Freeze and listening on the headset. I mean, this kid wants. He's on a scout team, and I'm pulling for him. And if we can pull off, you know, getting Deuce, and you stack that room. I mean, look, it's one of them deals. You hate to see either one of them kids lose, you know, the battle for the starting quarterback job. But look at the quality. In every position, like you said, y'all mentioned it. Hey, look at all the iron and chopping iron out there. I'm just hoping that pays off during the year, and I'm hoping you see that. And Freeze knows that. He knows he's on the cusp. I just got a gut feeling on me, and this is just me. I mean, I'm being pessimistic, but I'm also optimistic. This group you got right now, if you can hold this group of receivers together and you can keep a good quarterback with them, you know, another two-year starter, that, you know, can then get up to par and keep the pieces around him. Guys, I'm not going to say national championship, but I'm going to say you're going to be in the conversation for the playoffs foreseeable future every year. And that's what we ought to be. I mean, you can't say – I mean, there's too many good teams. Anything can happen on any given Saturday, Monday, Tuesday, Thursday. But the talent he's amassing right now and the way he's recruiting, like his hair's on fire, his life depends on it, seems like. that's just admirable. I really appreciate somebody pouring into this team. Like all us fans, we've just been longing for it for a long time. And so I want to see clean football against Cal. I want to see us, I'm picking us to cover. I am. And we should cover.
Yeah, they should. Now that you brought up a great point, Greg. I mean, this is one of those games. Last week was great. I mean, there's no question the talent level is really improved. Recruiting is going great. This is one of those games where Auburn needs to get out and take care of business. I mean, you want to really show that yes, you have made that step or you're making that step. You don't need to have this one look like last year's game against them.
Show up, do your job. It's a business trip. Hey, I'm watching the secondary, guys. And, hey, I'm going to let y'all go, man, let y'all talk about it. But I ain't talked to y'all in a while, man. But, hey, War Eagle, and it's good talking to you.
Good hearing from you, Greg. 334-321-1390. We need to get to our bottom of the hour break. Stick with us here on the Wednesday Drive.
To be a part of The Drive, call 334-321-1390, toll free at 888-382-7502, or email thedrive@espnau.com.
Welcome back into The Drive, 24 minutes away from 6 o'clock here on this Wednesday afternoon. Bill, Dan, Justin Ferguson from the Auburn Observer. Ferg, tell everybody what's going on, what you got coming up at the Observer.
Yeah, so we've had a pretty busy week. Did a story today on what we saw at practice yesterday, what we heard from players, a lot of good stuff in there. Big notebook from that. Earlier this week, wrote a story on why the heck Auburn threw the ball as much as they did against Alabama A&M, because, I mean, find it hard to believe, but there were plenty of people asking that this weekend. Like,
oh, and I've heard more and more people going, it's unbelievable to see a game plan where Auburn just throw the ball every down. It's like, well,
it's a little different than that.
Not exactly.
Yeah, a little more nuanced.
That's really what RPO is all about.
So, yeah, we did a film room on that. Did a story getting you ready for the Cal game from Hugh Freeze. We'll have a preview podcast. Dan and I will preview the game. Mailbag on Friday. Tomorrow I got a story on Rivaldo Fairweather. You know, he had his first really big game at Auburn. You know, won the game. Him and Eugene Asante basically did last year for Auburn at Cal. And I feel like Saturday could be a really good opportunity for him to get going this year,
You think Cal's not going to pay a little more attention to Rivaldo last year? But then they can't help but notice what happened last week.
It's dangerous for a defense to pay too much attention to Rivaldo Fairweather in this offense because of the other options.
If Auburn had just run the ball last week, then you could see them paying a lot of attention to Rivaldo. But seeing those guys run wide open last week, they can't.
And it's so interesting because this game last week, Auburn puts up a ton of points against an FCS team. And then Cal doesn't have the best of games against their own FCS matchup in UC Davis. I remember this last year. Going into that game last year, Cal had just thumped North Texas, put up like 50-something points on them.
Oh, that's right.
And then kind of, went downhill with Auburn on offense in that game. So it's going to be very interesting to see from week one to week. Like we saw two teams last year take a step back.
Mm-hmm. And usually you expect, after week one, you should be improving.
Yeah, I think Auburn's not going to improve from week one just because
it's
impossible.
They can't.
It's impossible to, but yeah, it'll be a really big, so we got a lot of stuff at the Observer on the Cal game, and then looking back at the Alabama A&M game, you can go to auburnobserver.com and sign up there. And we got plenty of stuff throughout the weekend.
334-321-1390. That's the Drive hotline sponsored by Skybar. And let's get back to it. And Spectre is next. Hey, Spectre.
Hey, guys. I can tell you why everybody's asking that question, why we threw so much.
Mm-hmm.
They want to spotlight all those five-star receivers. And, I don't blame them. I would, too. Also, this is kind of a double shot because they want to show all the Auburn fans how good Peyton is, but if he's got a line, that's going to protect him.
Well, it's interesting it worked out that way. I mean, I know that there's no question that sure, Hugh Freeze wants everyone to see, hey, we brought this young talent in and we're going to play this young talent because he's pitching that to other young talent that he's trying to recruit. But they're not going to, but they don't want to force it by throwing if the other team is giving them, if the other team's backing up and playing pass, Auburn's going to run it. I mean, it's one of those things where it worked out. It couldn't have worked out any better for Auburn. You couldn't have planned it any better than to play a team that wanted to try to stop Auburn's run when you've got that kind of young talent at receiver.
Yeah, you know, it's like going to the circus, you know. When you first go there, they parade everybody around the big top and everything, show them what they got. And then they come out and really do the big top show. But let me ask you, on the offensive line, who are our actual starters?
Yeah, right now it looks
so like the elephants in this case on your big top, you know, your five offensive linemen would be left to right.
Tyler Johnson's going to be your starter, it looks like. Percy Lewis played some against left tackle against Alabama A&M, but a lot more snaps for Tyler Johnson. Dylan Wade at left guard, Connor Lew at center, Jeremiah Wright at right guard, and Tutal Miller at right tackle.
And those four, I think, we know that Connor Lew, Jeremiah Wright, Tutal Miller, and Dylan Wade – are starters.
Yeah.
The question was Dylan going to stay there at guard or could he move back out at tackle? It looked like he's staying at guard.
Yep.
And I thought Tyler Johnson played well in his first start. I mean, he's going to get a much, much bigger challenge this week against Cal to see if he can stick at that spot. He's a redshirt freshman Spectre that Hugh Freeze has liked an awful lot. We've heard talk about his potential since he's been at Auburn while he was redshirting last year. As we've said, I don't know that they expected him to be starting this year, but he's played well in practice, but he's really going to get a challenge this Saturday night against Cal.
Yeah. Who is Miller's backup?
The next guy up for Miller would probably be Ronan Chambers, the transfer out of the MAC. Who went in with the second unit early in the first half on Saturday. He's played a lot of group of five football, moved around on the offensive line, but he's worked mostly at tackle since coming to Auburn this offseason, and it sounds like he's the guy who would go in if something happened to Tutal Miller on the right side.
Okay.
So they've got – I mean, it's an experienced guy, but he doesn't have experience in the Southeastern Conference. And then another guy who could play either of the two tackle spots is Jaden Muskrat, who was a transfer in last year. So they've got some guys that have had some snaps, but Tutal's the guy for right now.
I wonder if something happened to Tutal and he was out for a long period of time, they might take a look at Percy on the right side if he's Tyler Johnson's backup. On the left side, but I would think, right now Ronan Chambers is officially Tutal's backup.
Well, it sounds like we're sitting pretty good. We only got three seniors. Is that correct?
On the line, yes.
Dylan, yep. Dylan, Jeremiah, and Percy? Or no, Dylan, Jeremiah, and Tutal?
Tutal.
Right.
So you've got a redshirt freshman and a sophomore, your other two ones.
But of your starters, yes, of your starters, yes.
Absolutely.
Yeah, Miller's the only starter.
Yeah, and
well, Dylan's a senior.
Yeah, Dylan's a senior as well.
And Wright and Jeremiah.
Yeah.
So wait a minute.
Yeah, so Connor Lew is a sophomore. Tyler Johnson's a redshirt freshman. The other three guys are seniors. The other three starters.
Dylan Wade is a senior.
Yes, he was a transfer from Tulsa last year.
Okay, I was looking at the roster earlier, and they got him listed as a junior. I guess I either looked at it wrong or. My point to all that was we're going to be sitting pretty good next year with all this experience.
Oh, yeah, especially, yeah, they can get some more guys a little experience. They really like the, Braden Joyner, the Auburn High product, is a guy who has had a really good fall and is one of the backups there at guard. And the other backup guards, E.J. Harris from Auburn High.
Spectre was right. They have him listed as a junior.
He was eligible last
year. Yeah, that's weird. But, yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, so I guess there might be a year left there somewhere for him.
Well, let's hope so. I tell you what, on the Cal game, I think it's going to come down to our offensive line. Our defense knows how to handle Cal. We held them to 10 points last year, so I think we got even a stronger defense than we had last year. So I think if our offense holds together, even if they shut down the passing game, I think our running game is going to open up.
Yeah,
it all depends on those guys up front, though.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and Hugh Freeze talking this week, the two guys he circled on that Cal defense that he's really paying attention to, in pregame is their two big edge rushers. I think they combined for like 13 or 14 sacks last year, so they definitely have a presence on the edges that's going to test those guys up front.
Okay. Well, I got to run, guys. I got to get another line.
All right, appreciate the call, Spector.
Dylan Wade is high school class of 20. And I thought he already took a redshirt year. For some reason, I remember when he went in the portal that he had 3 years to play two.
So here's the thing. If he's high school class of 2020,
that means fall of 20 was his freshman year, and that doesn't count.
And it doesn't count.
Right. So but does that mean
– He would have had to have redshirted another year.
But his Auburn bio says – played 16 games over the past two seasons at Tulsa before he transferred.
No, you know what? There's a way. Check this out. If he was a true freshman in 20. If you don't count that year, played four games in 21.
He got a real red shirt.
So took a red shirt year in 21, yeah. And then in Tulsa. So he was a red shirt freshman his first year starting at Tulsa when he started 11 games and then left after that season. So he would have been a draft-eligible.
He would have been a third-year sophomore.
A draft-eligible redshirt freshman. A draft-eligible third-year redshirt freshman in 22. Comes to Auburn as a fourth-year sophomore. Fourth-year redshirt sophomore.
Yeah, so this year he is a fifth-year junior who could have one more year.
Fifth-year redshirt junior with a year of
eligibility. At Tulsa, they listed him as a redshirt sophomore before he hit the portal.
So he could have.
He didn't play in 20. So he barely played in 21.
Yes. Thank you, Spector.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I mean, I need to make a change on my depth.
But it is on the official Auburn roster, and so, only do that when they know a guy has an option to come back.
So that doesn't mean he will be back, but that means he could come back for another year. So that's really interesting.
Yeah, the recruiting article that I consulted, and I remember reading it when he first went in the portal, it was one of the local news folks talking about his remaining eligibility. I guess they were thrown off by the COVID year as well, that not counting against him in 2020. So yeah, he would have an opportunity to play a sixth year of college football next year.
Auburn listed him as a junior last year. But they're listing him as a junior again.
They wrote a senior profile for him this year, so it'd be really interesting to see.
I guess somebody just went back and looked and went, "Hey, he could have an extra year, so you better list him by what he could do." We'll get to our final break. Still time for a call or two as we wind things down here on the Wednesday Drive. Dixie Electric.